Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. We gather today to commemorate St. Dimphna, to pray for those who struggle with mental illness and for those who work with them, and to reflect on the nature of mental illness and how to see it in light of the gospel. So let's start with the basics, the life of St. Dimphna. The story we have of St. Dimphna perhaps got a little faded over time, but the essential elements are pretty clear. She was an Irish princess in the 600s, the early 600s. Her mother was Catholic, her father was pagan. She was baptized in secret, and as a young girl made a vow of virginity to God. When she was 14, her mom passed away. And her dad, it seems from, you know, it's hard to diagnose people from stories from the past, but we would say today that he had a nervous breakdown or some kind of traumatic break. And they kept on, his courtiers kept on pressing him to remarry, so presumably so he could have a son. And he was so grief-stricken by the death of his wife, that he said he would not marry anyone unless they could find someone in Ireland who was as beautiful as his former wife. And during this time in his grief, it seems that Dimphna hit puberty and began to look like her mom. And her dad, in a way that we can all acknowledge is not healthy, suddenly fixated on his own daughter as an object of his romantic attentions, and tried to force her to marry him since she looked like his dead wife. She fled with a priest, and they took sail and landed in what are today the Low Countries, Netherlands and Belgium. And they finally came to refuge in a place called Yiel, which is connected to our word for yellow. And there they stayed by a little chapel of St. Martin of Tours. And Dimphna, who was very, you know, shaken by all this, as you might imagine, instead of taking it as an opportunity to curl in on herself, was inspired by it to help others who were suffering. And she and the priest, I think his name was Garibaldus, started to help the poor and the afflicted there in Belgium. And what did she begin to help them with? Money. And where did that money come from? Ireland. And the king of her father had sent out spies to try and find her. And they started seeing this Irish money suddenly appearing in Belgium, and they were able to trace it back to where she was. So the king shows up with his advisors and demands once more that his daughter marry him. And his daughter, in horror, tries to flee. And the king has his servants kill the priest, and then he himself, in rage, takes out his sword and slays his own daughter. Now, we'll talk about the moral analysis of that story in a bit. But this is the life of St. Dimphna, and for centuries, because of the way she died, and one of the ironies of the Catholic faith, but also just one of the ironies of God's providence, it seems that many of the martyrs become the patrons of the things that martyred them. Right? My favorite of this is Saint Sebastian, who was shot full of arrows. He didn't die, he recovered from that, but he was shot full of arrows, and the arrows were fletched with goose feathers, so he became the patron saint of geese. Right? And Saint Denis was decapitated and somehow became the patron saint of headaches. And in the same way, St. Dimphna, who was slaughtered by the madness of her father, became in a special way an intercessor for those who struggle with mental illness. And that's an ancient tradition, that people who struggle with mental illness flee to St. Dimphna. And I think it's a profound witness that even in heaven, the saints forgive all injuries. Right? Do you understand? It could be, of all the people in the world who have the right to resent mental illness, Dimphna would be top of the list there because of the way that it destroyed her family and her life. And yet instead she turned it to love. And for centuries, the people of Yale, still to this day, have shown incredible love to Dimphna, for people with mental illness. And this started back, I think it was in the 1300s. They had what was the equivalent then of a mental health hospital. And there were so many people coming to see Dimphna that there were no more rooms left. I mean, it was overflowing by dozens and dozens and dozens. And the families in the town, instead of turning these people away, each took them as boarders into their homes. And that still continues today. The families in Yale take boarders who struggle with mental illness and make them part of the family. Welcome them, care for them, love them, help them find employment, help them get to counseling. And it's a magnificent work of charity. And yes, there are miraculous healings of mental illness. The Bolandists, who are church historians, recorded like 5 dozen in 30 years in the 1600s. And there used to be a huge pilgrimage to St. Dimphna's church in Yale. It's less powerful now, but still, this reality that here people who struggle with illnesses of the mind find hope. Because God is capable, as he turned the cross into resurrection, God is capable of turning the most atrocious violence into love. And I think that this is the first thing, as we kind of step back and look at what St. Dimphna means for us and what her influence means for us, I think it's the first thing that I want to say. We see in her love for people who struggle with mental illness, and we see in the movement she inspired in Yale, that the first thing that we should do is be patient and kind and loving, which is very difficult. Let's not pretend that this isn't difficult. I struggle with depression and anxiety and PTS episodes, and I know when I'm at my worst, I'm an incredible burden on those who love me. And as a priest, I help people who struggle with this, and I understand the sacrifice that it requires. Let's not pretend that this is easy. And let's not pretend that this is just simple snapping of your fingers and, you know, being kind. We think about people who have family members who have chronic illness, like cancer or bad diabetes, and how heroic they are in caring for them. And yet somehow we cover over the heroism of those who care for people with mental illness. And it's particularly difficult, I tell you, personally, as somebody who struggles from both physical and mental illness, it's particularly difficult to be patient with others when you yourself are suffering. Right? Counseling small groups are not exactly the places that you find the greatest charity and niceness, right? Patients often get very annoyed with one another. And that's a reality, that as we suffer, it's hard for us to be patient with others who are suffering. Second thing I want to say is that we're coming, thank God, I mean, St. Dimphna knew this, the saints knew this, and yet still it takes the world a long, long time to catch up. We're coming to realize that there is a difference between mental illness and spiritual illness. Or to put it another way, mental illness ain't your fault. Okay. We used to think in the Old Testament, like, you know, apostles asked, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It was like, neither, right? It doesn't translate into that. And there's a reality here that we need to understand, that still today, people tend to blame people who suffer from mental illness for their own mental illness. and think that it's completely within their control. And it's not. It's not. We need to hear that and say that. Dempster's dad didn't, like, choose to be crazy. Okay, I hate to use that word, but you understand what I'm saying. He didn't choose to suffer what he suffered. But, and this is where we can go too far the other way. And let me pause here for just a second and tell you something that we were taught in seminary by our very wise rector. He said, there are many things which are not my fault, which are still my problem. You know, I have diabetes. He says, not my fault. It's still my problem. That doesn't mean I can just go eat a chocolate cake, right? Because it's not my fault. And he told us, you're going into a world where people hate priests for numerous reasons. It's not your fault, but it is your problem. You can't go around and start acting stupid and just think that, well, because it's not my fault, people shouldn't judge me. This is the reality of what you live in. I struggle with anxiety. 10 years ago, I realized that when I drank mocha sippies, I'd get anxious for the rest of the day and then depressed that night. Is my anxiety my fault? No. Is drinking mocha sippies my fault? Yes. That's the reality, dear brothers and sisters. Just because we suffer from a disease doesn't mean that we're completely blameless. I mean, let's think about Demphna's father. He struggled with a bad disease. But boy, it took some pretty convincing reasoning to send out spies and to trace money and to track her down. That's not mental illness. That's deliberate reason. Just because we have mental illness doesn't mean we're blameless for everything we do. Could you imagine? Do you know what that would mean? That would mean that our illness took away our human dignity completely. That somehow we lost free will completely because we're suffering. We'd no longer be in the image and likeness of God. I'm not going to give my illness that permission. I'm not going to let my depression destroy that in me. It's not my fault. But it is my problem. It is my responsibility to deal with as I can deal with it. And that's why we talk about things like how important counseling is, how important mental health professionals are, to seek care. To seek care. I'm going to make fun of Denise here. Hi, Denise. I'm going to make fun of you. The only person on the face of this planet who is more impatient and annoyed with my chronic physical illness is Denise Swallow. She drives her nuts when I get sick. Thank you. And if I had told her, you know, I've never gone to the doctor, I've never tried any medicine, I've never had surgery, I've never done anything to care for this, I just have to suffer through it, I would be dead right now because she would strangle me. In the same way, how often we hear people say, well, I'm struggling with anxiety, I'm struggling with depression. Are you doing anything to seek help? I know not everybody can afford counseling, but are you doing anything to seek help, to seek support, to seek to deal with it? It's not our fault, but it is our problem. And dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that as you come to this Eucharist, and then perhaps after Mass, if you want to be prayed over, I want you to understand that. I have gone to Lourdes twice and asked to be delivered from numerous ills, and twice I got told there what I've been told in numerous other places from the Lord. No. And I was told no very clearly because, like St. Paul, this cross was given to me, this thorn in the flesh was given to me for my sanctification and salvation. My soul wouldn't be saved without it. I'd go to hell without this cross. you come to be healed by the Lord, understand this. If our sickness was our fault, then he would wipe it away immediately the way that he wipes away sins in the confessional. And if our sickness is going to be something that leads to our detriment and leads us away from God, then he will heal it. But if bearing our anxiety, bearing our depression, working through our trauma is actually what helps us learn love and wisdom and patience, then he will still help, but he will help us to bear it rather than helping to get rid of it. I've prayed over numerous people, and there have been times when I felt very clearly the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to heal this person. And there have been numerous times when I've been praying over someone and the Holy Spirit changed my prayer mid-prayer, told me to stop praying for them to be healed, and told me to start praying for them to have the patience and the peace and the gentleness to bear this cross. Dear brothers and sisters, I told you in the middle of this homily that those who deal with people who suffer from mental illness have to exercise great patience and gentleness. Yes, I told you this, yes. That includes when we're dealing with ourselves. We have to have patience and gentleness with ourselves. And I think that's a gift that Dimphna gives too. Or at least prays for, so that God might give. And so as we gather on this great day to pray for those who struggle, to pray for those who care, to pray for our own struggles, we look upon our little sister, Saint Dimphna, who died about the age of 15, but who's a great hero in heaven, who has inspired literally 14 centuries of care, who has worked miracles, who has given consolation, and who I know has given many people the courage and the patience to bear their cross, until every tear is wiped away, and all illness is ended, and every sickness is destroyed, as we see God face to face in heaven. God bless you all.